Okay, morning. Today's daf in Brachos is daf Beis. We start with the Mishnah over here. Just before we start with the Mishnah, just a general overview to the Masechta. Masechta Brachos is found in Seder Zeraim. Seder Zeraim is dealing with all the agricultural halachas of the Torah. And so all the other Masechtas in Seder Zeraim deal with Meiser, Trumas, and all the other Shvius, and all the other agricultural laws that apply and affect Eretz Yisrael. So, and we're not going to see any of those Masechtas, not in the Daf Yomi program. The Daf Yomi program covers Masechtas that have Gemara, although that's not perfectly precise. There are a couple of Masechtas out there that we do cover in the Daf Yomi that don't have Gemara, but we cover only those. So that means in Seder Taharos we cover one Masechta, and here it is, Brachos. Back in Seder Taharos we covered one Masechta that was Nida. So this is the only Masechta we're going to be seeing in Seder Zeraim. Now, it deals with agriculture halachas, and Masechta Bracha says what to do with agriculture, almost nothing. There is a connection, there is a link, because we're going to take the good agriculture that comes from Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to eat it. And before we eat it, we have to make a bracha on it. So, obviously, there's a connection between the Masechta Brachos and that of the agriculture. But the first five prakim of the Masechta have really nothing to do with that. The first three prakim of the Masechta have to do with the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, which I'll just introduce in just a moment. The next two parakim Dal and Hay, have to do with Shmoneh Esrei. The sixth parak has to do with Bracha Rishona, a little bit about Bracha Achrona, specifically on Alamechia. The seventh parak has to do with benching. And the eighth and ninth parakim have to do with an assortment of other brachos, Bracha Shevach Vahoda. So that is Masechta Brachos in a sentence. And so let's open up. Before we start with our Mishnah, let's talk a little bit about the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. So there's a mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. You say Kriyat Shema twice a day. You say it in the morning and you say it in the evening. We are going to be focusing today's daf on when. When do I say Kriyat Shema? So there is a time constraint in terms of when to say Kriyat Shema. It's based on the pasuk. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. So our focus today is going to be on when is saying Kriyat Shema. But before we start with that, just a little bit on what is the mitzvah. So the mitzvah of saying Kriyat Shema is to actually recite the words of Kriyat Shema. It's Kabbalas O Machut Shemaim. By saying Kriyat Shema, we're accepting upon ourselves the yoke of heaven. Certainly a possibility of why our Masechta opens up with this topic. If you asked the question, where else can we put the topic of Shema in all of Shas? There really is no other, there's no perfect place to put it in. So it's going to be the first topic of Shas, in that it's Kabbalas O Machut Shemaim. We're accepting upon ourselves Kadosh Baruch Hu's dominion over us. What exactly is the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema? So saying the first pasuk of Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad, that is certainly the mitzvah. How about the first paragraph? How about the first two paragraphs? How about the first three paragraphs? The first three, it's the only three. How about those as being a kiyum of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema? So it's a debate amongst the Rishonim exactly what is the mitzvah of Shema. Rashi in the Mishnah, I'll show it to you a little bit later. So Rashi in the Mishnah says it's the first paragraph of Shema. It's Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad. The Ahavta, the conclusion of that first paragraph, that's the mitzvah of Shema in the Torah, according to Rashi. According to Rashi, that means that the second and third paragraphs are mitzvahs derabbanan, but that's not a mitzvah daraisa. The Rambam, when he opens up and discusses the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema in Hilchos Kriyat Shema, so the Rambam says that all three paragraphs of the Shema is a mitzvah daraisa. Okay, and there's a range of other positions as well. Some say it's just the first pasuk, some say it's the first two. You really have, through the Rishonim, you have a range of all different opinions. In terms of Shema, there is an opinion, as long as we're going over range, there is an opinion that the mitzvah of Shema is not a mitzvah d'oraisa, it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. That is an opinion. We're going to find it in the Gemara that comes up later in the Masechta. We'll come back to that later. Okay. With that stated, our Mishnah over here is going to be dealing with when is the mitzvah to say Shema. So we are given a very simple guideline of determining when Shema is going to be, and that is b'shachbecha uvkumecha. So b'shachbecha when you lie down, uvkumecha when you get up. So that is going to determine what the time is for the Daf Yomi. Now, in terms of B'shachbecha, so really, even before we start with the Mishnah, the word could be understood in one of two ways. B'shachbecha could be understood when people are going to lie down, meaning the act of going to bed, or B'shachbecha, the entire time that they're lying down, in other words, the duration of the entire night. So that either of those definitions are possible, and so obviously what we're going to be seeing in the course of our Mishnah is that kind of range, where it's either talking about the act of going to bed or the entire night. Additionally, when we talk about Kumecha, so there it's certainly limited to the time that people get up. In other words, in there we're not going to entertain that the whole day is going to be the valid time to say Shema. But over here in our Mishnah, we're going to be talking about the Mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, the time in which we're saying Kriyat Shema, and we're going to start off with the Kriyat Shema of the evening. Gemara is going to ask the question why we start there. You can already guess a couple of answers. Let's see the Mishnah inside. Namasai Karna Shema Barvin. At what point in time is Shema said at night? Ad Sof Hashmor Rishona Divrei Rabbi Elazar. So the Mishnah starts off with an opinion that from the time that the Kohanim eat their Truma at night until the first Hashmora. And this is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. So let's start off with his window in which you could say Shema. So the opening of the window is the time the Kohanim eat their Truma. Now, what is the Mishnah here making reference to? So if you've been here with the daf long enough, so you already know. Anyone who is Tameh is going to be barred and banned from doing certain activities. If you are if you're anybody and your Tameh, you can't go into the Beis HaMikdash, you can't eat Karban. If you're a Kohen and your Tameh, you can't eat Truma. Truma has Kedusha, and so therefore your Tumah is going to inhibit your ability to eat the Truma. So, in terms of a Tahara process, I know we've discussed this, you know, last 2 months extensively. As far as the Tahara process is concerned, so the Tahara process is made up of two steps. Step number one is you tovel the mikveh. You tovel the mikveh during the day. From that point going forward now, you are mostly Tahara, but you do have a little bit of residual Tumah. You are called in Halacha what's called a Tvul Yom. After having concluded your Tvilah, you now are mostly Tahara, a little bit Tameh. And what does that mean halachically? Halachically means that you can't yet eat Truma if you're a Kohen. What do you have to do? You have to wait until the sun sets. This is what's called an halacha Harav Shemesh. Now, when we say the sun setting, actually we mean not just the sun setting, but it totally going away, i.e. Tseis HaKochavim. You know, it's nighttime. At that point in time now, you have the ability to eat Truma. If you're a Kohen, you are now Tahor Lagamre. Now, for some people who are Tamei, the story's not over yet. There's still another step to go. For the Zava, Mitzora and Yoledes, so for them, they are what's called in Halacha Mechusar Kapara. We discussed this back in Croesus. Mechusar Kapara is somebody who is lacking of a lacking their Karbanos. They have to bring Karbanos. The Karbanos are brought in the next day. And so therefore, from the time that they experience Terev Shemesh until they bring Karbanos the next morning, so they cannot go into the base of Mikdash, nor can they eat Karban. So, if you want to just look at this in almost like a chart, so for the person who is Tameh and Tovel in the Mikvah, they're what's called the Tvul Yom. A Tvul Yom, by the way, is allowed to eat Maaser Sheni. In other words, there's one allowance for a Tvul Yom, and that's his ability to eat Maaser Sheni. Then he experiences Harav Shemesh, now he's allowed to eat Truma. Then the next day he'll bring his Karbanos, then he's allowed to go into the base of Mikdash, and he's allowed to eat Karban. So, our Mishnah over here is giving us the window in which a person starts saying the Shema. It's B'shash HaKohanim Nechansim L'chol B'Trumasam. That means when the Kohanim are able to eat the Truma, that means Tetzah Kochavim, that's nighttime. Why doesn't the Mishnah just simply say nighttime? Why does the Mishnah have to give it to us in a somewhat confusing manner? So the Gemara is going to ask that question. We'll see it together. And then, when is the window close? When's the last time I could say Shema, the nighttime Shema? Atzof Hashmura Rishona, Divrei Rabbi Elazar. So it's going to be the end of the Hashmura Rishona. It's going to be the end of the first watch. What are we talking about? Watches at night? Who's watching? What's watching? What are these watches? So tomorrow's daf, we're going to be talking more about the watches. Right now, let's assume that we're talking about 4 hours into the night. Okay? How did I get it? How did I get that number? So we'll see that tomorrow. Anyway, so according to Rabbi Eliezer, the window opens up at Tzeitzah Kochavim, and the window closes at the Hashmura Rishona. So it's basically a four-hour window in order to say Shema. The Mishnah continues, V'chachamim omrim ad chatzos. So chachamim say you have until midnight. Rabbi Gamliel omer ad she'aleh amud ha-shachar. And Rabbi Gamliel says until dawn. You have the whole night. Ma'aseh v'ovanav mi-beis ha-mishta. There was an incident where people were coming from a beis ha-mishta, usually literally defined as a party, but usually referring to a wedding, a chasna. So amru lo, so they said, the sons of Rabbi Gamliel said to Rabbi Gamliel, lo karino sa shema. So we haven't read the shema as of yet. So amru lehem, im lo Allah amur ha-shachar chayavim. Atem likros. So if dawn has not hit, so then you're obligated to say the Shema. Velozu bavan. It's not just here, Amru. Ela komasha Amru chachamim ad chatzos mitzvah samashi ala amur ha-shachar. Rabbi Gamliel says to his sons, I'm going to teach you something new. Every time it says ad chatzos until midnight, it really means that you have the entire night, me'ikar adin, and it's just as a rabbinic cautionary that the rabbis didn't want us to avoid doing the mitzvah, and so put a little bit of a buffer. And so therefore they required us to do the mitzvah by chatzos, but the truth of the matter is, we have the entire night. I'll give you an example, says Rabbi Gamliel. Hector chalavim ve'evar mitzvah samashiyala amud ha-shachar. So in terms of the burning of the fats and the limbs of a karban, so you have the whole night. Karban is offered during the day. All the avodas of a karban are done during the day. That when we learn kachim, that's one of the first rules that we learn together. that mitzvahs mayom. However, after all the avodas are done during the day, in terms of the burning of the karbanos, that can be done over the course of the night. How much of the night do you have? You fundamentally have all night. I'll give you another example. Certain karbanos are eaten for one day and one night. Karban chatos, karban asham. So those are karbanos that are eaten for one day and one night. And how much of the night do you have in order to eat the karban? You have the entirety of the night. So in kein lama amru chachamim ad chatzos. So in these examples, the chachamim said ad chatzos. So why would they say that? Kedei laharchik adam enei avera, in order to avoid people violating averos. So stop at midnight. And when you stop at midnight, that was going to create a certain certainty that you will not be eating the karban at any time past dawn. Or you will not be burning the fats and limbs any time past dawn. Or you'll not be saying the Shema any time past dawn. So it's a harchaka. It's a way of creating a buffer. Okay. Adkan divrei HaMishnah. So in the Mishnah, what we have over here is, in terms of a starting point of when saying the Shema, the Mishnah actually only gives us one opinion. And that states a kohavim. When we go through the Gemara this morning, we're going to see an assortment of other opinions in terms of their other starting times based on other positions. In terms of the end of saying Kriya Shema of the evening, so the Mishnah itself provides us a range of positions. It's either going to be until the first Hashmorah, that's Rebbe Elazar Shita, or it's going to be until Chatzos, that's a Chachamim's position, or Rabbi Gamliel says you have the whole night. Now what it sounds like from the Mishnah is that Rabbi Gamliel actually agrees with the Chachamim. The Chachamim say that you have until midnight. So it could be that the Chachamim's position is that they fundamentally agree with Rabbi Gamliel. It's just that they are working with a harchaka. And Rabbi Gamliel doesn't work with that harchaka. Or maybe Rabbi Gamliel does, it's just lechatchila not b'di'evin. So there is much more discussion in terms of how to relate Rabbi Gamliel to the Chachamim. I just mentioned it quickly. Okay. One small point to make. In terms of those things which you have to stop doing at midnight, because the Chachamim injuncted us, they wanted us to make sure that we would not violate an avera. So there were a number of examples that were given. Shema was one. Burning of the fats and the limb is another. Eating karbanos that have a one day and one night allowance time. So those are examples that are given. Rashi over here, Anar Mishnah actually writes. Rashi, you could see it. You could see it a couple times in Rashi. You could see it. Rashi Dibra Maschal in Kein Lamar Muchachamim Ar Chatzos. Rashi gives us two examples, Kriya Shema and Achilas Kachim. Rashi over there doesn't mention Hektor Chalavim. And the reason why Rashi doesn't mention Hektor Chalavim is because Rashi believes that by Hektor Chalavim there is no Gzeira Derabanan. There's no Harchaka. Rashi writes, you can see the last Rashi in the Mishnah as well, where Rashi writes very clearly. Rashi writes in the middle of the Dibra Maschal, Kedei Laharchik Adam and Avera, the Hektor Chalavim, Diktani Hacha, Lo Amru Bo Chachamim Ar Chatzos Klal. You don't have, there is no rabbinic injunction of chatzos. It's just an example of something that goes the whole night. But there is no injunction when you're burning the fats and the limbs of karbanos. You have the entire night, and there's not even a gzera derabanan. Okay, that's Rashi over here on the Mishnah. Okay, one topic which I'll touch on a little bit before we start with the Gemara is the following. So if I were to ask you right now, when should you be saying the Shema at night? So you should be saying the Shema at night after Tetzah Kochavim. Now, again, I happen to know, and we're all going to know soon enough, that there's a range of position in the Gemara in terms of when it starts, but our Mishnah has it starting at Tzeisa Kochavim. Okay, so that means that Shema should be said after Tzeisa Kochavim. Now, we know that Shema usually is connected with brachos before and afterwards. Okay, big topic later on. All right, and Shema also is connected with Maariv, meaning the Shemoneh Esrei of Maariv. And so that means to say that when is the... What time should be davening in Maariv? After Tzeis HaKochavim. Now, for those of you who know about davening, which would be everybody here, you would know that, generally speaking, Minhag Yisrael is to daven earlier. Okay, in some communities you will find Maarivs that are after Tzeis HaKochavim, but davening is generally done earlier. Meaning, in many communities you daven right after Shkias HaChama, right after sunsetting. The sunsetting occurs earlier than Tzeis HaKochavim. And this is not a contemporary issue. Already by the time of the Rishonim, they were davening Maariv early. The Rishonim, Rashi, Tosfos, all the Rishonim were davening Maariv early. Consider back then, there was no electricity. You didn't just simply leave your house, go to a shul, turn the lights on. In other words, back then, as people were coming home from work and the day was coming to an end, so they would daven Maariv sometime around sunset. And so there wasn't this idea that we would daven Maariv late. And so the Rishonim are already bothered by the very simple question. We're going to daven Maariv early. Again, that's an assumption. That's sociological. It's been being done now. It's being done back in the time of the Rishonim. So we're going to daven early. But according to our mission, we haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of Shema. So how do we daven early and fulfill the mitzvah of Shema? So to that question, there are a number of answers. Rashi on our Mishnah already addresses this problem. Take a look at Rashi. And you look right in the middle of that Rashi. Im kain, I'm reading the Rashi inside. Im kain lama korin osa beveis ha-kinesis kedei la'amo bitfila. Mitoch divrei Torah. V'hachitanya bebraisa bebrachas Yerushalmi. So, why do we say Shema and Mariv? Meaning, incorporated in Rashi's question is, it's just too early. We say Mariv, we should be saying Shema after Tzeis HaKochavim. We say Mariv before Tzeis HaKochavim. So it's just simply too early to say Shema. So what are we doing saying Shema that early? So Rashi writes, well, we're not saying Shema as the mitzvah of saying Shema. We're saying Shema because we're about to say Shema Nesra, have Mariv. Mariv could be daven early. That's the topic we're going to be discussing later in the Masechta. And so since we're davening Mariv early, so therefore the Shema over there just functions as Divrei Torah. So we go. We move from Divrei Torah to Shmona Esrei. That's all. So then, of course, the next question. So if that's true, so when are we actually fulfilling the mitzvah of Shema? So really interesting Rashi over here, where Rashi writes the following. Lefikach, chova aleinu lekrosa mishitachshach. So obviously now we're obligated to say the Shema when it gets night. And Rashi continues. Uvekriyas parsha rishona she'adam kore al mitaso yatsa. And so therefore, you know when it is that we're going to fulfill the mitzvah of Shema? Kriya Shema Lamita. Kriya Shema Lamita, where we say the first paragraph of Shema, so that's when we're fulfilling the mitzvah of Shema. So a number of interesting things from Rashi. Number one, from Rashi, we already get the idea of how much of Shema do you need to say in order to fulfill the mitzvah daraisa. Meaning, as I mentioned, it's not clear in the Mishnah nor in the Gemara how much of Shema is min haTorah. So Rashi over here now, who has to distill how much of Shema you need to say in order to fulfill the mitzvah. So Rashi says it's the first paragraph. Okay, good. So that's one thing from Rashi that you get. Another thing from Rashi that you get is the idea that you could say Shema independent of Mariv and fulfill your mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Meaning, there's Kriya Shema that's associated with Mariv, but sometimes you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of Shema. When I say sometimes, I mean every night. When you're davening Mariv early, before Tetz HaKochavim, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of Shema. Fine. And then later that evening, you'll just say Shema as a standalone. And you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Shema, even though it remains independent of the actual act of davening Mariv. Okay, that's a number of interesting things that come out from Rashi. And I'll highlight it right now, but time does not allow to go through it. But Tosfos over here takes great issue with Rashi. The idea that Shema is only the first paragraph and nothing more. The idea that you're davening, but you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of Shema, and you'll just say Shema later on independently. These ideas of Rashi really upset Tosfos. Tosfos has a number of different approaches of how to resolve the issue. Meaning the issue remains the same issue. We're davening Mariv too early. We're saying Shema too early. How can that be? So if you take a look at Tosfos over here, where he quotes the opinion of the Ri, then followed by the opinion of Rabbi Natam, in terms of how we can navigate that by davening before Tzeis HaKochavim and meanwhile fulfilling the mitzvah of Shema. Both according to Ri and according to Rabbi Natam, I'll say this just to start you off, so to say, on the Tosfos, both according to the Ri and Rabbi Natam, they are firmly of the belief that the Shema that we're saying in Mariv is the Iker Shema. That's the main Shema that we're saying. So then how does that work if the Mishnah says that you have to say it after Tzeis HaKochavim? Okay, so that's the fancy footwork of the Ri and the Rabbi Natam in terms of how we get around that issue. But they fundamentally disagree with Rashi, which Shema of the evening is working towards our fulfillment of the mitzvah. The Shema of Kriya Shema Shalmita, that's Rashi. And according to the Balei HaTosfos, no, it's the Shema that we say during Mariv, even though we're davening Mariv a little bit early. Let's start with the Gemara. Tana Hechikai Diktani Me'emasai. So, a simple question of the Gemara. Where's the starting point of our Mishnah? Meaning, we all know where the starting point of the Mishnah is. We're looking right at it. But the Mishnah obviously is in some sort of continuum. Meaning the Mishnah is writing, name aside, from when, as if there was a starting point for the discussion. What's the starting point of the discussion? Like, what was the Mishnah working off of in that all of a sudden it launches into name aside, Karin Shema Ba'arvin? So, question number one. Question number two, Vesu, Mishnah Detini Ba'arvis Bereisha, listening to Shachas Bereisha. So, question number two is, why start with the Shema of the evening? Why not start with the Shema of the morning? Meaning, fine, let's assume that for whatever reason we're starting with Shema. That's where we're starting. But there are two Shemas to choose. That, and why choose the one of the evening as opposed to the morning? So, the Gemara says as follows. Tana Krakai Dechsi B'Shach B'Chov Kumecha. Okay. So first of all, what's the launching pad of our Mishnah? The launching pad of the Mishnah is Torah Shebichtav. Meaning, as we know, and now's a good time to say it, there obviously is a total attachment of Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebapeh. Meaning what we have is the written law and the oral tradition. And so whenever there's a starting point of where's the oral tradition coming from, what's the starting point? The starting point is going to be Torah Shebichtav. And so when we read the pasuk regarding the mitzvah of Shema, the Torah says, B'shach b'chov kumecha. So that's the starting point of the discussion. And now the Torah says, B'shach b'cha. And now we get to ask the question, after having read the pasuk, okay, now when does it start? Meaning, when do people start lying down? That's the launching pad of our Mishnah. And v'hachi ketani, zman kriya shema d'shchiva emas. So when is the kriya shema of shchiva, when people are lying down? Misha shakohanim nechnasim lecho b'trumasam. So it's the time when Kohanim are eating the truma, i.e. nightfall. V'ibayisema, or another possibility in terms of understanding our Mishnah. Oh, by the way, that answers both questions. It answers question number one, what's the launching pad of the Mishnah, the pasuk in the Torah? And it also answers the second question, why start with Mariv as opposed to a Shacharis? And the answer is, because Mariv is the first thing mentioned in the Torah. The Mariv is B'shach B'cha. Okay. And now, as far as another suggestion, Ibaisim, the Gemara provides another suggestion, Yalef Mibriyaso Shel Olam. We're learning it from the creation of the world. The pasuk says, Vayera Vayivoker Yom Echad. Torah says, in the creation of the world, so we start with the evening and we end with the day. So the evening is the starting point of the day. So something we all know, but the Gemara over here is articulating as explaining why it is that our Mishnah opens up with Mariv as opposed to the Shema of the morning. Ihachi Sefek Diktani, the Gemara says, okay, I'm with you, but let's move ahead a little bit in the Masechta. So later in the Masechta, we're going to be introduced to the Brachos of Kriyat Shema. Now, the Brachos of Kriyat Shema is a total of seven, right? It shouldn't be a strange number. The Brachos of Kriyat Shema are a total of seven. It's three Brachos in the morning, two on the front end, one on the back end of Shema, and there are four in the evening, two on the front end and two on the back end of Shema. Now, perhaps you counted another Bracha on Maariv. So that's a bracha that was added on later on in time. We'll talk about that bracha later in the Masechta. Anyway, so when introducing us to the brachas of Kriyat Shema, so what do we know? So b'shach mevarach shtayim lefanav achas lachareha, ve'erev mevarach shtayim lefanav v'shayim lachareha. So good. So the Mishnah tells us about the brachas of Kriyat Shema, introducing them. Now, what order does it introduce it to us in? First the morning Shema, and then the evening Shema. Well, that doesn't work, because we just learned together that first we should be going over the evening and then the morning. So listen to Arvis Beresha. So the Mariv brachas of Shema should be mentioned first, based on our answers. So the Gemara says, no, the entire Gemara is a flow. Tana Pasach Ba'arvis v'hadar tani b'shachris. Ad dekai b'shachris parish mile d'shachris v'hadar parish mile d'arvis. The way to learn Gemara is that it flows, meaning that in terms of the opening of our Masechta, we start with the nighttime Shema because the Torah says, B'shach b'chov uv kamecha. We start with the nighttime Shema because Vayir v'yivoker yom echad. That's why we start with the nighttime Shema. And then we do the morning Shema. Now, as the Masechta continues, we're on the morning Shema. So now we're going to roll out the brachas of the morning Shema. And then we go ahead and discuss the brachas of the evening Shema. So basically, it's A, B, B, A. But only because we were discussing B, that we continue with B, and then we move back to A. Amar Mishasha Konim Nechnasim Lechol B'Trumasam. Continuing in the Gemara now, we are talking about the time in which you could start saying Shema in the evening, from the time that the Kohanim eat their Truma. Michti, Kohanim Emes Ka'achli Truma, Mishat Seisa Kochavim. So the Gemara tells us what we know, but we only know because I told you. And that is that the time that the Kohanim eat their Truma is Seisa Kochavim. So the Gemara says, listen, Mishat Seisa Kochavim. So the Gemara has a really simple question. So let the Mishnah say that. The Mishnah obviously wants to be as clear as possible. And so the Mishnah, if it wants to tell us Tzeitzah Kochavim, should say Tzeitzah Kochavim. So Milsa Agav Orche Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Mishnah wanted to tell us an additional point as well. Kohanim Emas Ka'achli B'Shruma. When can Kohanim eat Shruma? B'Shat Mishat Tzeitzah Kochavim. It's from the time of Tzeitzah Kochavim. Ha'akamash Malan, the Kapara Lo Ma'akve. And the Mishnah is trying to teach us that the Kapara is not necessary, doesn't hold back the Kohanim. And what the Gemara's point is over here, if you follow back to the introduction, I said in the beginning of the, during the Mishnah, so there could be three separate points in time in which Kohanim can either eat or not eat the Truma. Again, if they're Tameh, so they tov in the Mikvah, so that removes most of the Tumah. He's still considered a Tvul Yom. And again, the Halach is that they can eat Maaser Sheni. Fine. Can they eat Truma at that point? The answer is no. The next step is Harav Shemesh. the sun setting. Can they eat truma at that point? And the answer is going to be yes. I might have thought not yet, meaning maybe if this particular kohen was not just tameh but tameh with mechusra kapara, this kohen was a zav or a zava, or a mitzora or a yoledis. Those are four different types of tumah. I know a male kohen can't be a zava nor a yoledis, but these are four. But first of all, female kohanim eat truma, so you can have all these affect the kohen and his or her ability to eat truma. So if any of these tumas were to occur, these tumas require a three-step process of tahara. One is tefillah b'mikvah, two is harav shemesh, and three is bringing karbanos. I might have thought that their ability to eat truma will only be allowed after we go through step three, which is the bringing of the karbanos, which occurs on the next morning. That's all what I might have thought. What the Mishnah is teaching us is that no, all you need is just simply to eat. All you need is simply Harav Shemesh, and that's it. The Harav Shemesh is the only thing that holds back his ability to eat Shuma, and you don't need a Mechusar Kapar, you don't need the Kabbalah the next day. And Kidatanya and the Gemara points out, the Braisa makes this point as well. Uvah Shemesh Vitaher, the Torah describing a Kohen and his ability to eat Shuma, the Torah says, Uvah Shemesh, the sun sets, Vitaher. Now, Vitaher means what? So, Bia Shamsho Me'akva Soma Lecho B'Shuma, V'in Kapara So. So we'll get back to the word v'tahir in just a moment, but the Bryce's point is very simple. It's the sun setting, which is holding back his ability to eat truma, and the kapara, meaning the karbanos that he is going to be bringing tomorrow morning, does not hold back the eating of the truma. Now, umimai dahai uva hashemesh bias hashemesh. Now, in terms of translating the words, here's what we think it means. Bias hashemesh is a reference to the setting of the sun. And v'tahir means tahir yuma. Now, the tahir means that the day has really come to an end. Meaning, we all know the sun setting is a process. It involves the setting of the sun, and then there's a twilight period. Okay, you're going to hear a lot this morning the words Ben Hashmashos. Okay, Ben Hashmashos is a tricky discussion. It's a tricky topic. I'll explain it better in just a moment. But for our purposes right now, just know that after the sun sets, there's this twilight period. And so when the Torah says Vitahir, it's a description of the day itself. The sun sets, the day comes to a conclusion, then the kohen is allowed to eat truma. It's, again, another way to describe Tzeitzah Kochavim. It's nighttime. The Gemara says, okay, but I'll tell you what, even though that's a possible translation, I'll give you another possible translation as we now turn to the Amud Beis. Dilma bias oro hu umay v'tayir tar gavra. Here's a possibility. The Torah says, uva shemesh, the Torah is talking about not the sun setting, but rather the sun rising. The word uva hashemesh, literally the sun comes, but it doesn't really speak to a direction. It could be talking about the sun going down, it could be talking about the sun going up. So over here, there's a very strong possibility that uva hashemesh is talking about the sun coming up. Okay, if that's true, then what's the word vitahir going on? It's not going on the description of the sun nor the day. It's talking about the person himself. Vitahir, and the person will purify himself. And how is he going to purify himself? By bringing the karbanos. That's a possible way of explaining the pasuk. If that's true, so that means he can eat truma when and only when? After the sun rises and after he brings his karbanos. Isn't that possible? The Gemara says, yes, it's possible, but that's not correct. Amar Rava Barav Shila im kein lemakra v'yitahir, mai v'tahir tar yuma. So if the Torah would have said yitahir is a verb. Yitahir means, and he will purify himself. The act of purification. If that's what the pasuk says, so then yes, I'd agree with you. Uva shemesh, which is that ambiguous phrase, so I would lean towards saying that sunrise. And yitahir would tell me, and he has to bring karbanos. That's true, I'd say that. However, it says uva shemesh v'tahir. Tahir in this context is an adjective, it's not a verb. It's meant as a description, a modification. And what it's modifying is the sun setting. Uva shemesh and the sun sets, v'tahir. And it's totally cleansed, meaning there's no longer any traces of the sun, otherwise known as Tzeitzah Kochavim. And the Gemara says, Kedam Rinshi. You know, this is an expression that people say, I'arev shimsha v'itke yuma. The sun sets, and the day now is cleaned, it's cleared. The word dache in Aramaic means tahor. So that is the correct understanding of the pasuk, and so therefore, we're back to where we started. Meaning, at what point in time can the Kohanim eat the truma, Tzeitzah Kochavim? And we learned in our Mishnah, we see a pshat in the pasuk. Now, b'marava, hadarav barashil alo shmielu. So in Eretz Yisrael, we know there were two communities of Torah learning in the time of the Amoraim. The period of the Amoraim extended after the death of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, extended till about the 5th century, the end of the 5th century. So there were two communities. There was one in Eretz Yisrael and there was one in Bavel. And as we see throughout Shas, that these two communities coexisted, and with the information being passed from one to the other. We're learning Talmud Bavli. So Talmud Bavli obviously is the accepted Talmud. In Eretz Yisrael, they were learning, and they had their own yeshivas as well. So we get to compare and contrast the various drushas that were learned in Bavel as opposed to that which were learned in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they happen not to have learned what we just learned together, meaning the correct understanding of the pasuk of Uvah Shemesh V'Tahir. So in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't hold of Rav Bar Shila Ubale Mibai. So they asked the following question. Hai Uvah Shemesh B'Yashim Shohi Umay V'Tahir Tar Yuma. So one possibility, as we already pointed out, is that Baal Shemesh is a reference to the sun setting, and Tyre is a description of now. Not only did the sun set, but it's night. Odilma bias o rohu umay v'tayer tar gavra. Or the other possibility is that it's a description of the sun rising, and the Tahir is talking about the person, i.e. he brought his karbonos. V'adapashlumi braisa. Now, they didn't give the answer the way they gave it in Bavel, which is v'tayer as opposed to v'yitayer, but rather, they learned it from a braisa. Bebraisa similar, David says, "Kochavim shmamina biashim shahu umay v'tayer tar yuma." It's just by virtue of the fact that the Braisa says that you know what? Do you know when you could say Shema at night? You could say Shema at night. I'm sorry, you start the Shema at night at the time that the Kohanim go in and eat the truma. And what is that? So the Braisa spells it out. Says kochavim. So in other words, it's not based on their interpretation of the pasuk, but rather it's based on the Masorah that we have through the Braisa. Okay. Amar Mar, Mishasha Kohanim, Nichnasim La'echo Betrumasan Uriminu. Okay. Starting time to say Shema at night, so far we've only given voice to one opinion, and that is Tesach Chochavim. Tesach Chochavim is the first time that you can say Shema at night. So what we're going to be learning now in the course of the remainder of the balance of today's daf is that there's going to be a range of positions. The range of positions of when to be saying Shema at night is going to be a number. And the complication of the upcoming Gemara is going to be that we're going to try to make a little bit of shalom between all the various opinions. We're going to compare and contrast the various opinions. We're going to try to align people together. So it's going to get a little bit complicated only just because there's so much of a range of position. Okay, so the Gemara starts off with the following. Me'emasai karin es hashma ba'arvin misha'ani nichnas le'echol pito ba'melach acha sha'omeid lipater mitochas se'uda. So in this Braisa, we're given a range of when to say Shema, when it starts and when it ends. When does it start according to this Braisa? From the time that the Ani goes in to eat his bread together with salt. And when does it end? When he finishes his meal. Now, without giving a specific time when this is, but we could say simply right now that it's a much shorter window. In our Mishnah, we were talking about a window of 4 hours. The first half of the night. The whole night. And over here, this window is significantly smaller. Now, when does this window begin? From the time the poor person goes and eats his bread with salt, poor person has no candle, has no illumination, says Rashi. And so therefore, he's going to go in a little bit earlier in the evening in order to eat his bread. And his meal is going to finish whenever it finishes. It is strange that we're describing this as a time of Vishachbacha. Vishachbacha means when people start to lie down. So we're talking about early evening, before or right around the time the sun is setting. So admittedly, it's a little bit strange. And the poor person who doesn't have illumination, he's eating before other people are eating. Okay, so I admit, it's hard to navigate how this exactly is called b'shachbecha, but nevertheless, that's the opinion of the Braisa. Now, Seifa Vadi Pliga Masnisen. Now, the Gemara says, look, in this Braisa, we have a window, and the second half, meaning when it closes, is certainly in disagreement with our Mishnah. That's clear. Our Mishnah has ranges of 4 hours, midnight, and you have the whole night. And in this Braisa, when the meal is over, that's it. That's when the period of Shema has come to an end. However, Reisha Milei Mepliga Masnisen. The Gemara says, but you don't have to say that the opening time of this Braisa is disagreeing with our Mishnah. It could be that they're the same. The Mishnah's description at Tesach Kochavim can be the very same time as the time that the Ani goes in and has his meal. It's a little bit difficult, but you could say that. And the Gemara now is going to try to say that. Look, Ani v'kohen chashiruhu. It's really one and the same shir. Or Reminu, the Gemara says, okay, but I'll tell you what. Even though we could attempt to say that, it's going to be difficult based on more information that's given to us. Here we go with another Braisa. Me'emasai matzchalin kros kriya shema ba'arvis mishashu b'nei adam nechnasim lechol pitam ba'arve shabasos divar ebmi meir. So Rameir gives a description of the opening of when to say Shema from the time that you go and eat your meal on Friday night. What makes Friday night so unique? Friday night, all the food is cooked already. Everything is prepared before Shabbos. So when you go home on Shabbos, so what are you good? What can you do? Start eating right away. So the meal of Friday night starts a little bit earlier than other nights, simply because all food is already prepared. And the Chachamim Omrim b'shasha kohenim ubaim la'echol b'chumasan. Simon David says the Kochavim. And the Chachamim say, no, the time that you start Shema is the time that the Kohanim eat their Truma, i.e. Tzeis HaKochavim. By the way, this is the Brisa that in Eretz Yisrael they quoted earlier. This is how we know that Tzeis HaKochavim and Kohanim eating the Truma are one and the same time. Okay. Anyway, the Alpha Pishim Rai Ladavah Zeich Ladavah. The Brisa continues. And look, I'm not saying that there is a foolproof support for this, but we do have a strong indicator that this is in fact so. Shenema, the Pasuk says, V'anachnu osim b'mlacha v'chitzim machzikim b'ramachim me'alos ha'shachar at Tzeis HaKochavim. We have a Pasuk here in Nehemiah describing the building of the second base of Mikdash during the return. After sent into exile by Malchus Bavel, we spent 70 years in exile. After the 70 years, we returned back to Eretz Yisrael, and we rebuilt the second base of Mikdash. And so the Pesukim here in Nehemiah give a description of this. And the working conditions were really tough. And we were working, and chitzim achzikim b'ramachim, were holding spears. So from alos ha'shachar until tzeis ha'kochavim. From the early morning, that's dawn, until nighttime. The omer, meaning we had to work, we also needed guards. Because it was really difficult times, and we needed to protect ourselves. The omer, and if you look a little bit further in the Pesukim Nehemiah, v'ayulanu halayla mishmar v'hayom malacha. Now the nighttime served as a times of guarding, and the daytime was malachas. The daytime was when we worked. So my va'omer. Now the Gemara takes a break from the Braisa to point out the following. The Braisa wanted to make the point that that nighttime begins at Tzeis HaKochavim, and the Braisa quoted Pesukim Nehemiah. The Braisa quoted two Pesukim from Nehemiah. What was the purpose of the second pasuk? My va'omer. Because without that second pasuk, here's what I would have said. The pasuk, the Navi in Nehemiah, is not telling us the parameters of when day begins and when day ends. It's just telling us when the workers worked. The workers worked from dawn. The workers worked till night. But that doesn't mean that's the beginning of the day and the end of the day. Maybe the beginning of the day is, let's say, Netzachama. Let's say the end of the day is Shkiasachama. Sunrise, sunset. That's the beginning and end of the day. And as far as the workers are working are concerned, so maybe they just worked extra. They worked before day and after day. The second pasuk is telling us is that the workers are working and it coordinated when day began and day ended. So Tashma v'ayu lanu alayla mishmar v'hayom malacha. Good. So now what we get from here is the following. In this brisa we have now two opinions in terms of when Shema can be said. According to Rameir of the brisa, it's when you eat on Erev Shabbos. According to the Chachamim, Tzeitz HaKochavim. Now, Kasa Kadacha Da'anu V'nei Adam Chachiyuruhu. Now, the Gemara telegraphs its punch. The Gemara says that we at this point then think that the Ani and the B'nei Adam going in on Friday night, it's one and the same. Again, the Ani is eating this bread a little bit earlier because he's poor and he doesn't have illumination. And when we go in to eat on Friday night, so we're also eating a little bit earlier because there's no need to prepare the food. It's all been prepared. So right now we're thinking it's one and the same shear. The Gemara is suggesting this simply because the Gemara wants to try to minimize as much all the different opinions that they're out there, and there are more opinions coming up. So right now we think it's one and the same. Chachiyuruhu v'amart ani v'kohen chachiyuruhu. The Gemara says, but I'll tell you what, then it leads us to the next problem. Because we suggested moments earlier that the ani and the kohen are one shear. So that means v'chachamim hainu Rebbe Meir. Well, that means then that if the ani and the kohen are one shear, and the Ani and the B'nai Adam, who are going in on Friday night, are one shear. So that means now that in the Brisa that we just learned, Rameir and the Chachamim are agreeing. But we know that's not true. In other words, the structure of the Brisa tells us that Rameir and the Chachamim are arguing. So Elosh Mamina, Ani Shira Lechud, V'Kohen Shira Lechud. So the Gemara says, okay. So we're going to have to conclude, therefore, that the Ani is one shear, and the Kohen is another shear. Fine. So the Gemara says, okay, so there's a discrepancy. By the way, throughout this discussion, one time, we're going to just try to suggest who's a little bit earlier, who's a little bit later, meaning that we know there's a range. We're not totally clear in terms of who says it's a little bit earlier, who says it's a little bit later. So the Gemara anyway says, lo, ani v'kohen chachiyuruhu, v'ani v'nei adam lav chachiyuruhu. So the Gemara says, no, let's go back to what we suggested earlier, that the ani and kohen, so that time is the same time, and the Ani B'nei Adam are not the same time. So the Gemara says, is that really a plausible suggestion? V'anik v'kohen. The Gemara says, I'm going to give you another brisa. And here in this brisa, we're going to have no less than five opinions of what is its starting time of when to say Shema at night. So when do you start saying Shema at night? So opinion number one belonging to Rabbi Lazar is when we're Mekadesh Hayom on Erev Shabbos. Opinion number two, Rabbi Yeshua Omer Mishash HaKohanim Mitarim Le'echol B'Truma. From the time that the Kohanim are now in a state of Tahara to eat Truma. Seemingly it says Le'echol Chavim. Rabbi Meir Omer Mishash HaKohanim Tovlim Le'echol B'Truma Sam. Rabbi Meir says from the time that the Kohanim Tovel so that they can eat Truma that night. That opinion is really strange. Kohanim Toveling? Now, as we already discussed numerous times, in terms of a Kohen being able to eat Truma, he has to tovel in the mikvah, and then he has to experience Erev Shemesh. Which means, of course, that the Kohen's toveling before sunset. And you're telling me now that that's going to be a time in which you could be saying Kriya Shema? And Gemara immediately reacts to that. So, Amalo Rabbi Yehuda, Valo Kohanim, Be'o Yom Him Tovelim? And that's exactly what Rabbi Meir says to Rabbi Yehuda. Sorry. What Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Meir. Like, what are you talking about? How can you say that that's the opening time of Shema? You're toveling in the day. You're not toveling at night. You're toveling before sunset. And that's an acceptable time to say Shema. Rabbi Chanina Omer, Mishashani Nichnas Lechol Bito B'Melech. By the way, the Gemara is going to have a response for that. The question is so strong. It demands a response. The Gemara is going to respond to that. The fourth opinion, Rabbi Chanina Omer, Mishashani Nichnas Lechol Bito B'Melech. From the time that the Ani goes and eats bread with salt. That's the opening time to say Shema. And finally, in the Brayse, Rabbi Achai V'Amrilei Rav Acha Omer, Adam, it's from the time that people go in order to recline. Not clear over here. Are we talking about an ani? Are we talking about a kohen? Not clear over here. But anyway, there are five opinions in the Brisa. Now, the obvious point which the Gemara makes. If you're going to stick with this suggestion that an ani and a kohen are one and the same, so Rabbi Chanina, Hainu Rabbi Yoshua. So in this Brisa that we just learned, so then Rabbi Yoshua, who says it is the time of the Kohanim eating their Truma, and Rabbi Chanina, who says that's the time that the Ani goes and eats his bread, are now expressing the same opinion. But in the Brisa that we just learned together, that was opinions 2 and 4, which are obviously different opinions. So the Gemara says, fine. So as much as we wanted to try to minimize the Machlokas, the Gemara says it's inescapable. The Ani and the Kohen are not the same time. Okay. Hai minayim mi'uchar. The Gemara says, of the two, which one is a later time? Mistabra da ani mi'uchar. The Gemara says, I think that the ani is a later time. Diyamar da ani muktam. Because if you're going to be telling me that the ani is actually at an earlier time, so Rabbi Chanino, who was the one who expressed the opinion of the ani, hainu Rabbi Eliezer, so that way he would be agreeing with Rabbi Eliezer. Now Rabbi Eliezer talks about kiddush hayom, the sanctification of the day. The Gemara can't imagine, this is Tosos' point over here, the Gemara can't imagine that there'd be a time earlier than that. It can't be, meaning Kiddush Hayom is sunset. So there's nobody who would say anything earlier than sunset. So if we have the Ani being at an earlier time, so then that would mean Rabbi Chanina would be the same as Rabbi Eliezer. And again, we know just simply by the construction of the Brisa, that's simply implausible. So Allah Shmamina, Da Ani Mucha Shmamina. So the time of the Ani is at a later point in time. Okay. I'm going to read a little bit more as I'm going to finish the daf, and we're going to recap because obviously we were just thrown at us a lot of information regarding the range of positions in terms of when the Shema begins and when the Shema ends. So let me just finish up the daf, and then we'll go back and we'll recap. Amar Mar, Amalei Rabbi Yehuda v'alo Kohanim ba'od yom heim tovlim. So Rabbi Yehuda says that the Kohanim are toveling during the daytime, and so therefore. Rabbi Yehuda looks at Rabbi Meir and says, your position can't possibly be. How can it be that the starting time for Shema is the same time it coordinates with the Kohanim Toveling, the Toveling before sunset? So, Shapir Kamalei Rabbi Yehuda le Rabbi Meir. So, Rabbi Yehuda is making an excellent point to Rabbi Meir. So, Rabbi Meir, Hachi Kamalei. So, Rabbi Meir says, yeah, but you made a number of assumptions in assuming my position, and your assumptions are incorrect. Misa, Vesta Anana Ben Hashmashot Titcha Kamina. I'm not working with your Ben Hashmashos. Ana ben Hashmashos to Rav Yosi Kamin. I'm working with Rav Yosi's ben Hashmashos. Da'am Rav Yosi ben Hashmashos Karavayan. Ze nichnas v'ze yotze v'i efshar lamor alav. Rav Yosi says ben Hashmashos is just but the blink of an eye, It comes in, it goes out. Nobody can really time exactly when the Bein HaShemeshes is going to be. It's not really an interval. Okay. This requires a little bit of explanation, so just give me a moment to explain what's going on over here in terms of the Bein HaShemeshes. Okay. Bein HaShemeshes is a topic, as I mentioned earlier, it's a difficult topic. It has a little bit of complication. The basic idea of Bein HaShemeshes is it's the twilight. It's the transition between day to night. The Bein HaShemeshes period is when exactly? So there is a machlokus amongst the Tanaim exactly when the Bein HaShemeshes period is. Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that Bein HaShemeshes starts at sunset and it extends for some time. Now, how much is that some time? It's an interesting Rashi. Rashi over here in our daf says it's chatzi mil, half of a mil, which is about 9 minutes. Elsewhere, the Gemara talks about it in terms of two-thirds of a mil or three-quarters of a mil. So it's not perfectly clear exactly what the range is, but let's just, for purposes of this discussion, all we need to just simply say it's just a range of time. Okay? I'll call it 9 minutes only because Rashi does so over here. That doesn't mean it's right. Okay. So the Bein HaShemeshes period is a small window of time. It starts with sunset and it ends 9 minutes later, which means 9 minutes later it's nighttime. I'll mention it. I don't want to get too involved because I don't want to deviate too much from the daf. When is sunset? It's a funny question. I think we all know, or at least we think we know, meaning that's when the ball of the sun goes below the horizon. So this also is a major machlok. It's a machlokus amongst the Rishonim, exactly when sunset is. Rabbeinu Tam says the sunset occurs well after the ball of the sun goes below the horizon. Okay, it's an important debate. It's a really important discussion, but I'm just mentioning it now. Let's keep everything as simple as possible. So Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that Bein HaShemeshes is an interval of time ranging around 9 minutes. It starts with sunset and it extends for the next 9 minutes. Okay, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with what Bein HaShemeshes is on two points. Number one, it's not really an interval of time. It's a moment. It's horrifying. You blink your eye. That's Bein HaShemeshes. Okay, so there is a time where there's a suffix, but it's time, it's almost imperceptible. That's number one. And point number two, according to Rabbi Yossi, is that when is this Bein HaShemeshes? It occurs later. It's after sunset. And it's after the Bein HaShemeshes period of Rabbi Yehuda. We just saw this in Masechta Nida not so long ago, that Rabbi Yossi's Bein HaShemeshes is either on the tail end of Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemeshes, or it could be actually after Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemeshes. So Rabbi Meir now turns to Rabbi Yehuda and says, look, you're coming at me and you're challenging me. The Kohanim are toveling during the day. That's way too early to say Shema. Like, what are you thinking? What Rav Meir's response to Rav Yehuda is that I'm not working with your assumptions. You're working with the Bein HaShemeshes. Who's Bein HaShemeshes? Of course. You're Bein HaShemeshes. Meaning, you're working with Rav Yehuda's Bein HaShemeshes. I'm talking to Rav Yehuda. Are you working with your Bein HaShemeshes? So, therefore, you think when you talk about the Kohanim toveling in the mikvah, obviously that's before sunset. I'm with you. And that would be way too early to start the Shema. But I'm working with Rav Yossi's Bein HaShemeshes. Rav Yossi's Bein HaShemeshes is after sunset, and it occurs sometime later. So according to Rav Yossi, you can have the Kohanim toveling after sunset, because it's not yet Bein HaShemeshes. And so therefore, there'd be no problem. And because it's after sunset, that's why it would be an acceptable time to say the Shema. Okay. Hopefully that was clear. That is the back and forth between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Kasha, the Rebbe Meir, Ad the Rebbe Meir. As we now turn to the top of the Amud, just going to wrap up to the two dots. Rameir and Rameir are arguing with one another, meaning that when it comes to the ani, he said that from the time that the people are going to eat their bread with salt, and Rameir in the Brisa said that the Kohanim toveling and eating their chumah. That is obviously a discrepancy. So, Treitanai Aliba de Rameir, so the Gemara says, okay, fine. We have various reports of what Rebbe Meir said. One Brisa gives us one report, another Brisa gives us another report. Kasha de Rabbi Eliezer, Ad de Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara says also Rabbi Eliezer seems to be inconsistent, because if you look at Rabbi Eliezer in the Brisa, he says when does the time begin? Misha Shekidei Shayom Barvi Shabbosos, when we introduce Shabbos, presumably sunset. The problem is Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah said it's from the time that the Kohanim are eating their chumah. Okay, so which one is reporting Rabbi Eliezer? So Kashi the Rabbi Eliezer, the Rabbi Eliezer, Treitanai Aliba the Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says the same thing. Okay, so it could just very well be that it's two Tanaim within the position of Rabbi Elazar again. Various reports of Rabbi Elazar. Here, however, the Gemara says we can actually give another answer. Ibai Sema, Reisha Lav Rabbi Eliezer. It could very well be that when you're learning the Mishnah reports Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer was only talking about the end of the Shema period, the closing of the window, but not the opening of the window. That may not necessarily be Rabbi Eliezer, and so therefore, it could very well be that Rabbi Eliezer here talking about the opening time is not against our Mishnah, because Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah is only the closing time, not the opening time. Okay, that could be. Okay, let's quickly recap. We saw this morning the first daf of Brachos, and in which we talked about really when. When is the time to say Shema? So we went over this morning, there's a mitzvah to say Shema both in the morning and in the evening. The Torah describes the Shach V'chov Kumecha, when people go to bed and when people wake up in the morning. We'll talk more about the mitzvah of Shema over the course of this Masechta, over the course of this Perek. We spoke out when. When is the time to say Shema? The Torah describes it as Bishach Becha. Now, Bishach Becha admittedly can be understood in one of two ways. Either when people are going to bed or while people are in bed. Okay, so there exist those two definitions. And even within those two definitions, there exists also a range of position. When exactly is the opening of Shema? Our Mishnah says from Tzeitzah Kochavim. That's when you start, that's when the time begins. When does the time end? In our Mishnah, we have three opinions. Either 4 hours or midnight, or you have the duration of the evening. In the Mishnah, we spoke about the idea of Harchaka, that even if you have the whole night, the Chachamim told you that you should be saying it by midnight, Kedei Laharchik Adam and Avera. Rabbi Gamliel agrees with that basic premise, but if you didn't say it before midnight, you could say it afterwards. According to the Chachamim, can you say it afterwards? As I mentioned earlier, subject to a major machlokas. In the course of the Gemara, we talked about what is the Mishnah starting with? Meaning, what's the launching pad of the Mishnah? It decides to, A, talk about Shema, B, talk about Shema at the night as opposed to the morning. So it's based on the Torah Shebechsav. Bishach Becha Uvkumecha. That's why our Mishnah starts with the Shema of Mariv, not of the morning. Later on, when talking about Birchas Shema, it flips. That's what the Gemara says, yeah, because the construct is A, B, B, A. We spoke about the Kohanim eating their Truma at night. When a Kohen is Tameh, he'll experience Tefillah B'mikvah, he'll experience Harav Shemesh, and now he's allowed to eat Truma. How do I know that? Based on our Mishnah, that's exactly what our Mishnah wanted to teach us. Also, the Pasuk, Uba Shemesh V'Taher. There are other ways to explain the Pasuk, but the Gemara says, but this is the correct way, and really the only way to explain the Pasuk, the only acceptable way to explain the Pasuk. We spoke out this morning that there are a number of opinions regarding when is the starting point of saying Shema in the evening. Our Mishnah only gives us one time, Tzeitzah Kochavim, and meanwhile we went through a series of brisos that brought in a number of other opinions, capped off by the last brisa that brought in five opinions. And what we try to do is we try to consolidate the opinions, we try to align Rabbi Elazar to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Meir to Rabbi Meir. The alignment doesn't work perfectly. The Gemara acknowledges that point, and that is basically our first daf. Our big topic that we discussed this morning is that Minag Yisrael for generations, for centuries, is that we daven Maariv early. How do we daven Maariv early? If there's a mitzvah Shema to be said after Tzeitzah Kochavim, and it only begins after Tzeitzah Kochavim, how is Minag Yisrael to be davening early? So already the Rishonim are bothered by this issue. I quoted Rashi inside. You can see the first Tosfos, which I did not quote inside, where he also addresses this issue of how we're davening early.